I'm Dan Hughes in the Treasure Corner. You're detecting a city park, digging a beep when you look up and see a policeman headed your way. What do you do? To help answer that question, I talked to Anthony Belli, field editor of Lost Treasure magazine and, incidentally, an ex-policeman. Tony writes the state treasure tales you see every month in Lost Treasure. Tony was a deputy sheriff in Yamhill County, Oregon. He left that position in 1983 to become a sergeant with the Dayton, Oregon Police Department, and later that year he was promoted to chief of police. During his service, he held special certifications in department management, supervision, dignitary protection, and hostage negotiations. Tony began treasure hunting and photographing ghost towns in 1983 as a hobby, and he's kept up with it for these past 27 years. I asked Tony, what is the attitude of a typical law enforcement officer to treasure hunters? Anger? Envy? Something else? Or are all policemen different? Tony answered, first, just like people, all police officers are different. Many of them are treasure hunters themselves, and they might ask you what you're finding. They might be pretty friendly. On the other hand, in recent years, many local police agencies have bolstered their training with classes on looting and the theft of cultural resources. Because the metal detector has been identified as one tool for both of these crimes, it can be difficult for some police officers to recognize a looter from a legitimate treasure hunter hobbyist. I asked Tony, how should you act? What should you say when a policeman approaches you while you're hunting a park or schoolyard? He answered, unfortunately, more and more parks are becoming off-limits. Part of the reason is that some coin shooters haven't filled in their holes and have left a bad impression on the park's staff. The other reason often has to do with protecting the buried cultural artifacts often found within these parks, particularly in parks where historic battles or other historic events have occurred. Schoolyards, Tony says, for the most part, are still generally open to metal detecting. Still, it is always the treasure hunter's responsibility to check with park and school authorities first before detecting in either location. Tony says if you're approached by an officer while detecting, relax, be friendly. If you've done it right and have first obtained permission to hunt, give the officer the person's name and the agency they work for, like Park Superintendent Bob Jones at the Parks and Recreation Department. Or better yet, have written permission on the agency's letterhead and the official's signature. The same goes for schoolyards. I asked Tony what habits or research techniques that he learned in his law enforcement career have made him a better treasure hunter. He said that his expertise is in research. He uses a three-tier system for investigating historical events that are linked to a lost treasure story. First, he acquires the available data, newspaper accounts, court records, maps, testimonies, etc., about the event and the lost treasure associated with that event. His goal is to become the best historian for the event and treasure he's searching for. Second, he analyzes the data. Proper data analysis can prevent you from wasting tons of hours in the field. Tony says he has debunked many treasure stories as false before ever picking up his detector. His third step is the field work. He says it is critical to pinpoint the specific location where any event took place that is linked to a treasure legend. Tony has adopted a standard for field investigation work that closely mirrors the way the police department processes major crime scenes. Recovering physical evidence from the field, regardless of how old or insignificant it may appear, may in fact confirm or disprove important details about the treasure you seek. When all the data is in and the field work is complete, then you move into the recovery process. Recovery is nothing more than taking all the data and map work you've done, adding any evidence found in the field, then looking at such things as geographical features to determine the most likely place a treasure is hidden. Tony says you, in effect, create your own treasure map of almost any incident, and by doing so, you're best prepared to make a recovery. That's the word from Anthony Belli, longtime police chief and now field editor for Lost Treasure magazine. Tony, I appreciate your help with this program. Thanks for listening, and for more articles on treasure hunting, scroll to the bottom of my website, treasuremanual.com. In the Treasure Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.